This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Peter Likens was president of the University of Arizona from 1997 until 2006. But in his recently published memoir, A New American Family, Likens doesn't focus on academic life. Instead, he tells the intimate story of the choices he and his wife made in adopting six children in the 1960s. Two of the children the Anglo-Likens adopted were African American, two Native American, and one Mexican American. Earlier, I talked with Likens and asked him why he decided to publish what had originally been an anniversary present for his wife.
Gosh, that's a complicated process that I went through. When I first started, first put pen to paper, I was just writing a love letter to my wife. I gave her a journal that I had recorded my thoughts about our lives together for a period of 4 months, and it was a very exciting adventure for her and for me. And when I completed that project, I thought, I'm going to keep going. And I wrote a memoir for my kids, for family, for the closest friends who knew me in my personal life, not in my professional life. And I just about completed that project when November 8, 2008, Barack Obama was elected president. And as I listened to the chorus of political analysts announce that Obama would be our president, I burst into tears. I was sobbing. And I was surprised at myself and thought about it the next day and realized that my tears were not for Obama and not for my multiracial family, but for my country. And I decided that, doggone it, this family story was also a story for America to think about.
Even though you've lived a public life, was it daunting to have these intimate details in this book? I mean, it doesn't seem like you hold anything back.
I don't hold back anything. But then again, I never have. The university presidency is a very public position, and I was a university president in two different places, altogether 24 years. And when you live in that fishbowl, you do not try, if you have any wisdom, to keep secrets. Your family issues, complexity, dark stories sometimes, those are public issues. So this is not a revelation to anybody, this book. It is a concentration in one place of a great many stories that have been in the public domain for 30, 40 years.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix, talking with former University of Arizona President Peter Likens about his new memoir, A New American Family. Didn't sound like this was any sort of plan that you and your wife had. As open-minded as you are, and the fact that you and your wife didn't even think about what color people may have been, so many people around you must have. Did that impact your thoughts or feelings in any way?
To an amazing degree, my wife and I, and later our family unit, made decisions based on our internal consultations, not as a result of asking anybody for advice. So we didn't tell our parents when we first adopted a black child. We just did it. We didn't tell anybody. We didn't go through some kind of a intellectual process trying to decide whether multiracial adoption was a good idea or a bad idea. It just didn't work that way. My wife fell in love with a little black baby on television when Ben Hunter was presenting her in his adoption interviews series in Los Angeles, trying to capture the hearts of potential adopting parents. And I came home that day, and as I've said many times, my wife may just as well have said to me, honey, I'm pregnant. I mean, she said, we're going to have another baby. It was that spontaneous. And it was not about whether she's black or white. It was just a beautiful little baby that we needed, and she needed a family. And so Krista joined us. She was the third of our adoptions. The first two were probably less controversial, although the second adoption was a little boy born to a Mexican-American woman, and the fifth and sixth were Native Americans, and third and fourth were African-Americans. This was not a strategy, not some kind of a grand plan. This was just my wife and I, and I must say mostly I'm following her lead here, bringing into our family people to love and people to love each other. It was not any kind of a social statement. It functioned entirely from our hearts and minds within the family.
I hate to make too dated a reference, but some people might think of the old Spencer Tracy movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and all the challenges that were even discussed in a much lighter way in that. I appreciate the fact of what you're saying of the love internally in your family, but was there any concern going forward, not that you were doing anything wrong, but that people would treat you poorly because of this? Because you didn't look like everybody else.
Yeah, we just are not put together in such a way that we worry a whole lot about what people think. My wife and I have a very special love affair that goes back to our early teenage years, and we are an independent unit, if I can say it that way. We interact with other people in society, and we realize there can be challenges, and of course there have been challenges, whether it's related to race or sexual orientation or drug addiction or mental illness. I mean, we've had all of those experiences, and always there are certain kinds of pressures that come from some people in the larger society. But it's my experience that if you just do what you think is right and stand tall, if you face the world squarely and honestly, most people will come around. Most people will say, well, you know, maybe this is okay.
When you mention the election of President Obama and how significant that was, how much of what you write about reflects not only the reality of your family, but your vision or your hope for America going forward, that we truly become a colorblind society?
It is about America. It's firstly about the observation, not the hope, the observation that we are becoming a multiracial society, and the boundaries between and among races are becoming very blurry, fuzzy boundaries. The most rapidly growing category in the last census, in the period between 2000 and 2010, is more than one race. And that is going to proceed geometrically. It's going to grow and grow and grow. There's no way to avoid that. We're a very mobile society. And as the barriers between races and ethnic populations break down, or barriers between religions for that matter, we'll find more and more people crossing those boundaries. And if you think about 2050, some period of time in which people who look like me, white European Americans, mm-hmm. become a minority. Then everybody is a minority. Then what does the word mean? And by that time, I'm convinced America will be not a homogeneous society, still a society with clusters of populations who are clearly, definitively European American or Native American or African American or Asian American, but the boundaries that connect these populations will be kind of continuous flow between and among races. And the whole notion of defining people by their race must go away. We can't get around the fact that more and more Americans are of some undefined race, and that's suddenly becoming okay.